you've taken over the last few days, who you spoke to, what is the situation?
Hi, Amy. It's great to be with you. Great to be back on the internet. I spent 5 days in Libya's liberated eastern zone. The main cities there are Beida, Derna, Tobruk, and of course Libya's second largest city, Benghazi, which is now, this was the city where the protests began in February, and this is the city where the new face of the future Libya is taking shape. I met a number of people. I'll talk a little bit about Benghazi because it's really the seat of where a lot of important political developments are taking place. 10 days ago, Benghazi was the site of incredibly brutal violence. Human Rights Watch estimates that 237 people were killed. Several people we spoke to had witnessed very, very brutal street battles with mercenaries and members of Gaddafi's battalions attacking protesters armed with just rocks and stones to defend themselves. Today, the city is transformed, and everywhere there's graffiti with asking people to take care of your city and to try and build a new Libya. Residents have taken complete charge of the city. For the first time in 42 years, people are in a state of shock that they have complete control of their lives. They're in complete control of everything in their city, and Gaddafi's forces are nowhere to be seen. We spoke to a number of people in the city who are members of what they call the coalition of the February 17th revolution, because the revolution was called to begin on February 17th. In Benghazi, incidentally, it began on February 15th. The coalition is made up of a motley crew of people. It's professionals, lawyers, doctors, engineers, teachers, university professors, workers, a lot of students, a lot of young people who took to the streets, many of whom were killed. The day I arrived in Benghazi, it was Friday, there was a very large demonstration taking place in the center of the city. And the revolution's headquarters are in two buildings, the former High Court of Benghazi and a district court, two buildings right next door to each other, which are right on the Mediterranean. One building, the former High Court, is now the sort of media hub of the revolution. This is where people are trying to set up a satellite internet connection to get videos out to people around the world. Of course, it's been very difficult to break through Gaddafi's internet blackout. But this is also where people have taken control of state media. So the state radio station is now taken over by revolutionaries. It's called Libya Al-Hurra, Free Libya, and it broadcasts 24 hours a day across eastern Libya. There's also a new newspaper that's coming out every day called Libya Al-Hurra, Free Libya. I have a copyright here. And it's incredible to see, you know, people, both journalists, media professionals in the city, as well as just ordinary citizens, coming in and devoting so much time to trying to counter the state media and the false image being pushed forward by Gaddafi and his son about who the protesters are. We've all heard Gaddafi's speeches and his son Saif al-Islam's speeches. The protesters are foreign elements, they're linked to Al-Qaeda, he's called the protesters rats. I mean, people are very keen on trying to counter this image of themselves. The day I arrived, the coalition had just appointed a city council to manage the day-to-day functioning of the city. Banks had just opened. You know, there's young people everywhere in the streets trying to direct traffic. There's been no reports of looting or damaging property. People are very proud of this. You know, they're trying to move on. They're not people who are used to governing their city. They've never had experience doing this, so they're starting from scratch. There's a real sense of excitement, also a sense of nervousness. You know, people, well, I listened to a press conference given by the Council of the Revolution and the main spokesperson made it very clear that, you know, while they were calling for a no-fly zone, this is the number one demand in terms of what the international community can do, they're very opposed to any other form of foreign military intervention. They do want targeted sanctions, which have already begun, but they also do want a no-fly zone, and people are very nervous about what's happening in Tripoli. And on the one hand, you know, if you look at a map of Libya, you see that really Gaddafi's forces, it's almost like a noose around Tripoli. Tripoli and Sirte are really the only two places that are still in complete control, that Gaddafi still has complete control over. The rest of the country is increasingly under rebel forces, rebel command. So on one hand, that's very encouraging for people that we spoke to in Benghazi. But, you know, of course, people are still nervous. They're worried that there might be a counterattack. And there's a sense that, you know, Gaddafi can do anything to people. And there's a real sense of fear, but I think people are also trying to see what they can do to manage their city and to also support their friends and families in Tripoli, who are now continue to be under siege.
Anjali, if you could introduce the two women lawyers that you spoke to.
Yes, absolutely. So I spoke to two women lawyers who really seem to be running a lot of things in on the Council of the Revolution. One of them is a member of the Council of the Revolution, Salwa Abu Ghegas. She's the first woman who you see. And the second woman is Hana Al-Ghalal, also a lawyer. She's a member of the Media Committee. And I asked them a number of questions, and this clip begins when I asked them if they expected this to take place in Libya, and in particular to begin in their hometown of Benghazi.
Supporting Tripoli. What are you doing to support people in Tripoli
now,
and Zawiya?
Now there's a meeting outside the court here with people from coalition from Tobruk, Beva, and Derna. Okay, and now they're having a meeting now, and they are discussing these things, and we'll see what will happen.
We cannot talk so much into the future. We are just living it minute by minute. And this is overwhelming even to the people of the international media, the international community. This is something never happened in history. And we are doing, and we are surprised ourselves, and we are proud, because in Benghazi there is no looting, there is no chaos. Everything is, every person in this country and this city has been participating and protecting private and public property. Everybody is opening his homes for the expatriates. We are doing everything. There might be minor mistakes, but this is normal. We are in emergency, but we are doing great.
And I want to say